Hello and welcome to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby. Thanks for tuning in. We are here at ACC tip-off for the college basketball start of the season. However, we have a lot of college football that is going on right now, and we can't not talk about that. So wanted to make sure we talk about some college football as well in between all of the fun interviews that we're doing. So having a segment for that. It is a big week in college football. For a lot of people, this has been the weekend that a lot of people have looked at. If you've seen a lot of the jokes or the memes or, you know, the planning of the fall wedding, this is the weekend that was circled. It is a massive, massive weekend because you've got Oregon, Ohio State. You've got the Red River rivalry, Ole Miss, LSU, both trying to make a playoff. You've got Penn State going across the country to Southern Cal. They had to go to Harrisburg to get a longer runway to go to Southern Cal. You've got K-State playing at Colorado, a bunch of other fun games. It's a lot of big games. It's going to be a banner type of a weekend because we're going to learn a lot about the landscape from this weekend. So I've loved getting to talk all things basketball, but it's also going to be fun to talk about some football. And so as we get into this, the first game we have to talk about is Ohio State at Oregon. You know, Oregon is the newcomer, one of the newcomers from the old Pac-12, obviously, and they're going to face Ohio State in their biggest test of the season. Both these teams are 5-0. Ohio State is number 2. Oregon is number 3 in the country after some of the carnage from last weekend. Ohio State currently is a 3-point favorite on the road. The total is 53.5 points. It's the night game for the Big Ten, 7:30 on NBC. Who would have thought that Ohio State at Oregon would be an in-conference game, but that's where we are in college athletics these days. This is going to be very interesting because, like I said earlier, these are both teams that not everyone has gotten to see as much because they haven't played as many of the big teams until now. And so we're going to learn a lot about some of these different pieces. Oregon has, you know, struggled a little bit earlier with some of their opponents, and they seem to have gotten it fixed, especially on the offensive line, but they're going to be tested against one of the top defenses in the country. In Ohio State, they have taken care of business so far, but we don't really know exactly what they look like. I mean, they quote-unquote struggled a little bit with Iowa. I mean, they won 35-7. I don't know. I would say that Iowa always has a tough defense, and they always slow the game down. But it was closer until they pulled away later. And so you really want to see, like, who really wins out, you know? Dylan Gabriel against this tough secondary for Ohio State. Can Ohio State get pressure on them? How Ohio State's running attack be against this Oregon defense? It's a night game. There's also been a crazy big stat in the Big Ten where currently Big Ten teams are 1-7 when they have to travel at least 2 time zones. So the time zone factor is showing a deal so far. That's just been a big glaring stat as I've seen it. And it's going to be tough to tell. I think whoever can establish the way they want to play the game is going to be big. What's an underrated part of this game as well is Chip Kelly. I don't know if you've realized this, but Chip Kelly is actually the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He obviously was the head coach back in the day at Oregon. So it's kind of a coming home party for him as well. So he'll know the environment. It'll be interesting to see what kind of a game he calls. And this is obviously, you know, with Ryan Day letting go of play calling this year, it'll be interesting to see what it kind of looks like in this kind of a bigger moment type of a game. For me, I actually even played this game with my friend Will last night on college football just to get a feel for it. I did not play well as Oregon. But just got to kind of get a feel for the game. Just a fun way to preview the game. So shout out to Will. I think for me, I think Oregon has put things together, but that offensive line is still a little concerning for me. You don't want to be one-dimensional and really force. You really want to take advantage and let the crowd be into it at home, and you don't want to have to force things and come from behind. Because if Ohio State gets ahead in this game just with their running attack and they're able to control the line of scrimmage and control the ball, I just think it plays into their hands. If Oregon can use the crowd, can make it tough on the road, make Ohio State have to pass the ball, even though they have some great receivers, you know, Jeremiah Smith, Ibuka, all those guys. Like, they have some good, they have some players, but I think just you want Oregon, you want to keep your pedal in the middle early and not have to come from behind and use your whole offense versus trying to come from behind and let Ohio State really control the line of scrimmage, control it with the running game. I mean, Judkins and Henderson are arguably two of the best running backs in the country, and just that duo, you could argue with that. I'm curious to see what Howard will look like with one of his first tests and how it, with Oregon, will be able to get pressure. I think for me, I just – the biggest strength that I trust the most, honestly, is Ohio State's running game. And I think Oregon will be able to score a little bit of points, but I just – the secondary, Caleb Downs is a dude. Like, I – you know, obviously, Tez Johnson is there for Oregon, but I just – I trust that running game a little much. And I think there's just, even when one of them comes out, you know, you can send the other one in. And I think just they'll be able to impose their will a little bit towards the end. I think it'll be close. It's a 3-point spread. I think Ohio State wins by like a touchdown type of a game. I could see this being a little bit higher scoring, but a little bit similar to when Ohio State won at Notre Dame last year. So, you know, maybe like a 24-17 type of game instead. But that's something to go with. I'm picking Ohio State in this one. Don't feel necessarily 100% great about it. It should be. It's obviously a great game. The winner, it's a great win for the winner because both, you know, people have been wanting to see more, like just see a next step for Dane Lanning and especially Ryan Day. So if Ryan Day can get this win on the road and arguably one of his toughest games of the season between that and Penn State and Michigan, of course, but just when you look at just resume-wise, it'd be big for them, and it'd be big for Dan Lanning and building this program at home. So I trust Ohio State's offense. I trust their running game is probably the best I can say, and they have a good secondary, and I think they just can match up a little bit with Oregon. So that's the first one of this weekend going down the schedule. Another big one is the Red River Rivalry, which is always a funny tongue twister. I have a hard time always saying that. But a Red River Shootout, as it used to be called, we're number one in the country, Texas, who retakes the number one spot after Alabama lost last week. They will host, they're playing a neutral site with Oklahoma, who is 4-1 after their bounce back win, after loss to Tennessee. Excuse me, they win at Auburn. They are 4-1. It's in Dallas. Texas is a 4.5-point favorite currently. The total is 50.5. It's 3:30 on ABC. It was announced that Quinn Ewers is going to be starting again at quarterback, which is kind of what was expected. I mean, I think this people could kind of look and see if this is the game that he was going to come back for. However, you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, with a couple weeks off, like how will he do, you know, how will the offense, will it be all the way clicking with him again? It played well with Arch Manning, of course, it still takes a little bit of time to acclimate. It was good to see Oklahoma win. They were playing the freshman quarterback. It's a big moment for him. And they're without a lot of their top receivers. Burks is out. It's been confirmed. This looks really tough. I know that Texas, you know, they're number one again, and so you'll have that scrutiny. Ewers has been out, so that could be a little bit slow to start, you know, with a 14-point spread, 15-point spread. But I just think Texas has too many weapons. They've been stronger defensively too. And I just think they have too many weapons offensively for Oregon to be able to keep up. And especially when you're starting a freshman quarterback and just, I just feel like it's too much Texas. A lot has to go perfectly well for Oklahoma. And I feel like Texas can play, you know, maybe a B game or B minus game and still win decently well in this one. I just think there's just not enough for Oklahoma this year, but they're definitely heading. I like some of the pieces that Oklahoma has. I just think Texas is just, they're just one of the top teams in the country right now. And so I'm going to take Texas to cover in that one. We have, I said 4.5. I'm going to say 14.5. I missed my one earlier in that. We have number 9, Ole Miss, 5-1, traveling to Baton Rouge, face number 13, LSU. They both have one loss. Ole Miss is a 3.5-point favorite right now on the road. The total is 61.5, so a little bit higher. It's come down a little bit, a couple points. And it is a 7:30 game on ABC. Ole Miss is coming off the win at South Carolina, 27-23. And LSU is coming off the bye week, actually. They've won four in a row since their early loss to Southern Cal. This one's interesting because obviously Ole Miss, you know, has kind of feels like the better team right now. And, you know, they're favored on the road at LSU, which has not happened that often. A night game in Baton Rouge, it is also not to be underrated. I know people know how good of a play environment that is. LSU, you know, they played a tough one in South Carolina, and I know that Ole Miss played obviously much, had a better and won much more comfortably against South Carolina, you know, like with a common opponent. However, just coming off the bye week for LSU, I just feel good about it. I feel like Nussmeier and the guys will be really ready to go. It's a very charged up environment. It's a big game for Brian Kelly. I just think they match up really well with Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss on the road, I don't know. I have a hard time picking against an underdog LSU team at night in their own stadium against LSU, against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss, I know they won last week, but they just feel like a team that needs to play ahead early. You know, like they lost that tough one with Kentucky, and they just can never get their footing. And I'm not saying like LSU's defense has been it's improved a little bit. You know, I could still see Ole Miss scoring some points. I think this will be one of the great games of the weekend. I really do. But LSU at home, I can't really go against that, you know, especially as an underdog. I mean, I'm going to take that. So I'm taking LSU at home to cover and win against Ole Miss. But this one should be a really good one. You're going to make sure you're watching to that one for sure. And then another big one, we have number four, Penn State goes on the road to Southern Cal. Penn State is 5-0, and Southern Cal is 3-2 on the year. Southern Cal is actually coming off the loss against Minnesota. Penn State is a 4-point favorite right now on the road. The total is 50.5. It's a 3:30 game on CBS. To me, this just comes to, I think that Southern Cal, you know, has a couple losses now, and we're still trying to figure out exactly who they are. I think Miller Moss, like, I think he'll, you know, like, he can be a good quarterback, and I like their passing game a little bit more. I think at home, the big factor, it you know, will be tough at Penn State. You know, the big factor I was alluding to is just the time travel. I mean, they're traveling two time zones. Like I said earlier, Big Ten teams are 1-7 when they have to travel more than one time zone. I mean, Penn State had to travel an hour outside just to like have a long enough runway to make it all the way to California. There's just a lot of, you know, different levels of things you have to think about, you know, when it comes to these games. And so I think, you know, obviously the defense can travel. I'm still not all the way sold offensively, you know, especially when they have to throw the ball. I think Drawler, like, he can play, but I think Southern Cal has been able to show them they can move the ball. And if Penn State has to play from behind, I'd just be curious, because if they're out in front and they're able to control the line of scrimmage, similar to Ohio State, if they're able to control the line of scrimmage and able to controlling with the running game, I think that, you know, will play to their advantage. And obviously they're going to test that Southern Cal rushing defense and the depth that is there. But I think I like Southern Cal at home to cover in this one and have a good chance to win outright. But this should be fun. I could see this being really close. But yeah, I like Southern Cal just from a factor of being at home, they had a good offense and the time travel. So, and then another fun one too is number 19, Kansas State is traveling to Colorado. In that one, I'm actually going to take Colorado because Kansas State just feels like they're not going in the best direction, and Colorado 1-1 and they can move the ball. K-State hasn't been as strong offensively as I was kind of maybe expecting them to be. And there feels like a different level when it comes to Colorado, and just they're showing that they can be a little bit tough to play at home and can hit some big plays. And so it's one of those games that, again, I think if Colorado gets ahead, I think they play their game and I could see them winning and doing really well. But if K-State can run the ball, control, you're seeing these themes again and again. If they can control the ball and make Colorado have to play from behind, that would be big. The one loss Colorado had was on the road with Nebraska, and they just turned the ball over and just could never quite get their footing. So give me Colorado in that one as well. So a lot of big ones. We've got Alabama hosting South Carolina. I think Alabama bounces back, you know, but they're like a 21.5-point favorite right now. I think South Carolina, they can play teams tough, even if it's on the road. So I'm going to think South Carolina can cover. I think Alabama still has, they're shown that there's some things that still need to be worked on. The way Vandy will ball, I think South Carolina will be as well. But I think Alabama will win. I just think it's too many points in that one. Tennessee hosts Florida, which should be a fun one. Tennessee earlier in the week was a 15.5-point favorite over Florida. For me in this one, I just think Tennessee is just frustrated at how they played last week at Arkansas. It's at home. Florida, I'm never quite sure what type of a team we're going to get with Florida. I just think Tennessee, it's too much. I think they pull away and, you know, win by like 21 late. I just think they're going to play really frustrated and just want to take it out on somebody at home. And then, you know, we've got Louisville and Virginia. I think this is kind of an underrated one. Virginia has been kind of sleeping around, you know, in the country, just being under, you know, just not talked about as much. And so I think Virginia actually can win this one. Louisville has not been as strong defensively as I, you know, was maybe thinking. And they didn't, you know, they lost at home last week. I like that. Cal goes to Pitt. So they go across country as well. Pitt has been playing really well. They're undefeated. Cal's coming off a tough loss. I think just, but Cal's already shown that, you know, they went to Auburn and won on the road earlier this year. Pitt has a freshman quarterback. I think that, you know, has yet to have maybe a freshman moment. This could be that game. I think Cal has shown they can run the ball and they can get timely scoring. So I like Cal. I mean, I like, as they say online with the Calgarithm, as they say. But I like how Cal plays, and they lost last week, but it was really tough. You have to be really encouraged. But Pitt's been having a great year too. So this is another underrated game this weekend. And then the final one I wanted to talk about was Clemson at Wake Forest. They've played a couple of close games the past couple years, and they played a high scoring one about 2 years ago in Winston-Salem. Clemson's a 20.5-point favorite. You know, they just come off the win against the Noles in Tallahassee. The line earlier in the week was 20.5, which can feel like a lot, especially on the road. However, Clemson's just been shown that they've been able to handle the slow mesh that can sometimes cause other teams problems just because they don't see it as much when it comes to Wake Forest. And I don't think Wake has quite as much of the talent as they had in the past. And the secondary, what burned them a couple years ago was the secondary was so young. Hartman was able to pick them apart a little bit for some big chunk plays. I think they're going to be ready for that. And I think Clemson, the way they can run the ball as well. I think Clemson has advantages on the front, on the lines of scrimmage. And I think they'll be able to control the clock and not too worried about that one. I think Clemson covers that one as well. So there you have it. It's a full weekend of college football. Super pumped. I mean, this is why we love the sport, you know, it's for weekends like this. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great time with friends and family. And so, yeah, just having a great time watching some sports. So remember to like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. That helps me out a great deal. Right now we're trying to get to 500. That would really help me out a great deal and be able to continue to keep the momentum going. It helps me unlock some different things for the YouTube. We're on podcasts as well. We have a new membership as well, where you get into... You can unlock the premium forums if you want to talk all things on there and there'll be premium content. It only allowed to members. So that's really fun. And also that just really helps support me be able to continue putting out content for Backyard Catch. So really appreciate the support. And if you're going to games, use the SeatGeek app or online and use the code Backyard Catch and save $20 off of your first purchase. That is at SeatGeek for first time purchases. Again, using the code Backyard Catch. So supports the program. And also you get money off of your tickets. And in today's age, who doesn't want a little bit of a sale and a discount on tickets? So Thanks for listening, and we will talk about these games next week. See you later.